Trinum tonight is Jess.
Welcome to Films with the Women in My Life.
Going old school today, just me and Jess for a Liam Neeson film. This is like 2019 level old school reviewing. It's time for In the Land of Saints and Sinners is the newest Liam Neeson film. We watch, there's a couple of types of movies we watch on the show. Pixar, Mama Kay, Nicole, and I do. You know, we watch Steven Soderbergh movies. We have certain things we watch. And one of those certain things is Liam Neeson action thrillers, in quotations. And Jess, you're our aficionado there. What tickles you about the average Liam Neeson thriller? What do you like about him?
Gosh, I don't know how to put a finger on it. Taken was obviously is where I think it all started. I'm not sure what he's done before Taken, but I think Taken kind of kickstarted this sort of
this part niche of his career for sure. He was like a dramatic actor. He was in some big sci-fi action stuff, but like he was in all kinds of things before Taken, and then since Taken, he's been kind of the old man ass kicker,
basically. And Taken, I don't know. I always found so thrilling and fun to watch, and it was one of the movies like back when we had cable in high school that was just always on TV. So just something that you don't even know how many times you watch this, you just whenever it's on, it's still always fun to watch. And then his new movies, it's just a different version of Taken, so it's just kind of like you're reliving that movie over and over again. And his one-liners are hilarious. Like I think he's actually really good at what he does. It's not like when we saw like that B movie. What was it called?
Jason Statham. You and Mama Kay did the beekeeper.
Beekeeper. So it's not as stupid as that. Like I think there's a little more solidity in Liam Neeson being the hero and killing all the bad guys.
I think Liam Neeson takes the work more seriously. I think when you look at like a Jason Statham or like those kind of guys, they purposely like kind of wink and like, this is ridiculous, isn't it? Where like a Liam Neeson movie, you're kind of expecting something more ground level, like something much more like,
I will find you and I will kill you.
Yeah, like he's going to find you and he's going to kill you. And like, yeah, he may be 70, but he's going to beat the shit out of you. He's got a dark past, you know?
So he is 70, but in every movie, he's 60. No matter what, he's always 60.
It's like a Bruce Willis for like 30 years. He was 48 or whatever. And Liam Neeson has been 60 for 25 years.
He basically has been.
Hoping to leave his dark past behind him, former assassin Finbar Murphy. If that doesn't sound like a Liam Neeson movie, I don't know. Hoping to leave his dark past behind him, former assassin Finbar Murphy. That's all I need to even say. But he leads a quiet life in a coastal Irish town far away from the political violence that grips the rest of the country. When menacing terrorists show up, Finbar soon discovers that one of them has been abusing a local girl. Drawn to an increasingly vicious game of cat and mouse, he must choose between exposing his secret identity and defending his friends and neighbors. 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, 77 with the users, 64 Metacritic, 6.2 IMDb. So this is a little bit higher than the average Liam Neeson movie, I would say.
I thought so too, so that got me pretty excited about it.
I would say of his higher end ones post Taken, I would say like The Gray is up there in critical reviews. Cold Pursuit, one of our classics.
Cold Pursuit is one of our favorites.
Cold Pursuit is highly critically reviewed. And then we've done some other ones that were not as good. There was that one where he forgot who he was. And
memory.
Like, yeah, and he healed himself by lighting his leg on fire. Oh, that's still one of my favorite scenes. I know he lighted the side of himself. Regardless, there's a mixed bag of Liam Neeson movies, but this is a higher average review than I'm used to seeing. Jack Gleason, Carrie Condon, Sirian Hayes, Desmond Eastwood, Sarah Green are the other actors in here. TV, some British movies you might have seen. Carrie Condon, I know. But yeah, if you haven't seen In the Land of Saints and Sinners, this is distributed by Netflix, but I saw it in theaters.
Really?
I guess maybe it's coming there soon, like maybe right after its theatrical on it. It'll go right there, maybe. But that's what it says. But we saw it in theaters. That's where it currently is. And we are going to spoil it here now. So this is not Liam Neeson's a Texan or a guy from Missouri or something. He's actually from Ireland in this movie. So at least it's a little more in his class.
Isn't he actually Irish?
Liam Neeson, the real man, is indeed Irish. And so he will sometimes be in, like, he used to be in primarily Irish films. And, like, he does do Irish movies, like Michael Collins. And he was in one last year that I didn't see that looked mildly interesting. But he's in Ireland, this one. It's in the 70s. So I don't know how much you know about the IRA, but there's, like, a bit... It's like I don't know a lot about it, but it's like IRA is like a terrorist kind of organization fighting for a free Ireland against Great Britain. It's a whole colonial power struggle thing, terrorist thing. But Finbar Murphy, our Liam Neeson character, he's an assassin. He's getting tired of the assassin life, and he wants to retire, have a peaceful life. After one of his kills, he's like it speaks to him. He's like, I need to stop doing this.
I know. I was like, just that little speech did that to him. It just kind of like clicked something in his head.
It's what happens. I mean, he's got a dark past. It's troubling. And then all of a sudden, usually it's a little kid. Maybe it's his daughter getting taken. In this case, it's a guy giving a speech, and it makes him go, I need to change my ways and repent and not be so, and I cannot continue this life. But he's got a boss.
And by the way, this was at his own personal graveyard, which had at least 30, 50 killings.
Yeah, he brings people out to his own personal in the woods. He plants a tree on each grave, and you can see trees in various states of size to indicate his many years of service. So Leonardo, he's going to retire. He tells his boss. His boss is the classic old guy, like, oh, you can't retire. What else you got to do with your life? This is all you know. Oh, I hate to see you go, but it was a good, you know, that classic guy. There's also the young hotshot guy who's kind of sociopathic. He doesn't have any feelings. He's like, I just kill for the... It's just a job, and, like, I don't care about anything. Yeah. And, of course, we have our villains led by Kerry Condon's character, and they are members of the IRA terrorist organization. One of the members of her group is her brother, and her brother is, like, abusive to his wife, and his wife is... And I don't know exactly how they're related, but it's, like, a sister of someone he knows, so or, like, a community member.
It's a bartender. It's her sister's. No, her brother married one.
Her sister. Her sister married the brother of the woman of the bad guy. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, like, basically, like, it's by marriage. This guy beats the shit out of a woman that Liam Neeson cares about tangentially, like in community. Liam Neeson. He may be a murderer, assassin, but he cares about his community. He's friends with the cop, the classic neighborhood good guy cop, Cyrian Hines character. He kills this one. He retires. He kills this one guy. But that one last job, it creates a spiral where now Kerry Condon's character is after Liam Neeson in revenge for her brother. And so it's kind of a small scale cat and mouse, like Kerry Condon looking for Liam Neeson, little thrillery kind of thing. With the larger backdrop of there's, like, you know, there's strife in the UK going on with UK and IRA. So. That is what's going on in Land of Saints and Sinners. Jess, what'd you think of it?
First of all, I'm going to formally call this Taken in Ireland going forward.
Just easier, because we got Taken on a train, Taken on a plane, Taken in the snow, Taken on blow, and now we got Taken in Ireland. All right, Taken in Ireland.
I was a little afraid the last Liam Neeson movie that we did in memory, where the main character he played was getting Alzheimer's, and he was gonna quit or something. I'm like, no, what if, like,
this is it?
This is, like, real life. Like, this is kind of like his farewell movie, and it's true.
You thought, I know this is his farewell movie.
He came back in Ireland, and I'm like, all right, he's not retiring anytime soon.
No.
So his name was Finbar. Okay, I'm probably going off the rails here, right? Finbar, I thought was such a funny name. I was like, if I get a goldfish, I'm gonna name my goldfish Finbar.
So. I'm pretty sure Finbar is a classic, like a very classically Irish name, kind of like...
I've never met anyone named Finbar before.
I mean, I don't think you've met a ton of classically Irish named people.
Well, I'm about to go to Ireland in 3 weeks, so ironically, it was good timing that this movie came out, because it made me more excited to go with all the scenery, and hearing people talk, there were some scenes where I'm like, I don't know what they were saying. And I'm like, am I going to go to Ireland and be like, the tourist, like, can you repeat yourself just a little slower? I don't know what you're saying.
Hey, I have to say that around here, because I'm not originally from around the mid-Atlantic, so some of these people, I don't know what they're saying. I often say accents are just entire regions of people speaking incorrectly. So it's just like you just have to figure out what they're saying. But
so the first 30 minutes of the movie, I didn't know where it was going because it, I wouldn't say it was slow moving. There wasn't a point in the movie where I'm like, God, this is so slow. When is it going to pick up? Mm. But I was kind of like, where is the plot? Because sure. It kind of opened up to a day in the life in Finbar. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so where's the murderer? Where's like the high speed chase? Like what's going on? It's him learning to garden, being friends with his neighbor, like showing his hobbies, his daily life. And I was like, what? When's this going to start to pick up? And then when he gets up, the relationship with that little girl, is it Moya or Maya? I couldn't tell if it was Moya or Maya.
The little girl's name is, I have it here. It is, oh no, I don't have it here. I don't know. I'm sorry. I thought Moya, when Maya, whatever.
Yeah. When he starts like taking, like looking after her or caring for her is when it starts to pick up and we have like the cat and mouse game with the IRA and him and the killings and the hidings and the final ending that didn't really end as everyone planned. I was fun. I thought it was fun. I had a great time watching this. This was your typical Liam Neeson movie. And I mean, besides the first 30 minutes pondering where this is going to go, I thought it was well worth it at the end. And there were some twists I didn't see either. So, mm-hmm. Actually, I'll talk about the twist later. How about you tell me what you think about
it? Yeah, we'll bounce to the twist, but interesting. I wish I liked it as much as you. I don't. I was not as enthralled with this movie. I was a little bored. When it comes to these Liam Neeson movies, I look for slightly different things with you, but we have kind of a Venn diagram of enjoyment where like memory kind of crossed some of that. Where his like I like his one-liners. We both have that enjoyment yeah. level. Like I like his speeches where he does them. They're intense. Like I like when the other characters are kind of goofy too. Like one of my favorite examples is in Cold Pursuit when the one guy's like, oh, and he shows up to the Native American guy shows up to the hotel and they're like, oh, what's your reservation? He's like, what did you say to me? And he does the whole reservation bit. Like there's just I like those kind of lighter comedic bits in the otherwise serious action tone of Liam Neeson movies. And this one, unfortunately, is just it's kind of bereft of that lightness. It doesn't have a ton of humor. It's very drama heavy. And so the first 30 minutes is like, okay, like, you know, good drama. You're getting introduced to the characters, but it is a little stock and it is a little like basic. The thing that kind of keeps me hooked a little because it's different is Carrie Condon's character because
oh my gosh, she's so good.
Because she's not, she reminded me of, I don't remember if you remember Dr. Sleep, but she reminded me of Rose the Hat in that movie, like that kind of female villain that I haven't really like, wow, like I want to see more of this character go. Like I like her because she's capable, she's doing things, but like also she's a vulnerable human person. One of my favorite stupid throwaway scenes is later on when she's threatening Finbar, like they finally meet face to face because for the longest time they don't even meet face to face, and when they do mm-hmm. it's in like an alleyway and there's like a parade going on in the background and like someone bumps into her and she like falls over for a half a second while she's like trying to be intimidating. Like I love that because it's like such a small story and it's not like a big epic thing. It is like a small little like shiesty characters in an alleyway. And like, I like that she like, she's not like, oh, you can't bump into me. Like you don't know who I am. Like she's just a bozo who wants revenge. Like I like those kind of aspects those give me those little threads of fun. But the overall thing is a little too just kind of stock Liam Neeson thriller film, and it's just the dramatic scenes are just kind of that the sweeping landscapes and shots. I'm like, it's just not what I look for in this kind of movie. Like I want to see something different in my Liam Neeson movies, and this is
then I wonder yeah. why this one got better reviews than the typical ones. Like what's different about this than the others?
I was gonna ask you. I was curious because after I watched this, like if you had not told me the reviews, like usually I'm pretty good at actually like guessing reviews. Like I'm usually within 5 percentage points. This one I would have been wrong though. Like this is what is it, 80% of Rotten Tomatoes? I would have given yeah. this like a 58, 63. Like this is a really like competent 3-star, gets the job done, baseline characters. Like I don't know, like I feel like that cop character, I like Cyrion Hines, he's just like a basic cop though, and that sociopathic guy, like the younger guy, like he's good. Mm-hmm. There's a few little things with him later, but like that that guy just is like, I've seen that guy, I don't know. And he's not like, it just seemed all kind of stock, with the minor exception of Carrie Condon's character, because usually I feel like that character would just be like another older dude mafia guy. But I like that it's mm-hmm. her. I like that it's someone different, and that brings flavor. Yeah.
Not that this is ever going to go the Oscars, but she is a strong female lead, and she's great. Deserves like praise for it, or an award or something. Because I was mesmerized by her character. I was like, have I seen her before? Why haven't I seen her before? She just played this so well.
She does the voice of Friday in the Avengers movies, so she's in like all of those Avengers movies through voice. But as far as like actually in movies, she was in a movie called Bad Samaritan that I saw. She's in a movie called Dreamland I saw. Oh, she's in Banshees of Inisherin, which I don't think you saw, but that came out 2 years ago. That's a really good movie, and man, I don't really know if it's her character that's doing it there. She came out in a terrible horror movie this year called Night Swim. Did you see that? I didn't see that.
No, but I did see commercials for it. I actually didn't end up going.
I actively avoided it. It looked like exactly what I don't want to see. But you're right. Like, I haven't seen her for much of things, but like her being a little different and like something else is kind of what kept me going as far as I did in this movie. Because beyond, like, Liam, our boy, our man, Finbar, like, is there anything about this version of Liam Neeson that's better, worse, sticks out than the others? Like, I don't know.
I don't think so.
He seems like every other one.
Yeah, because he's like, he's your nice guy, and everyone doesn't know that he has a second life where he's a hitman, and he's like endearing, he's friends with the neighbors, and then, but if you cross him or if you see him doing something wrong, you're taken.
He will find you.
Yeah, he will find you and he will kill you.
Did you ever see all the Takens? I've only seen the first one. I actually haven't seen two and three.
I'm sure I have. I can't remember them specifically, but I'm sure there was a Taken marathon on like ANF or something.
Just watching on just FX. Is that a thing too? The next generation's gonna have watching a thing on TV, watching old movies on TV in the afternoon. Like,
I haven't had TV since I live with my parents. So
I know, me neither. But like, I'm just thinking like, right, what do I throw on? I throw on YouTube and let the algorithm go. Like,
I know. I think they just binge watch.
They just binge watch whatever's on streaming.
Yeah, they just go through a season in a weekend, whereas, I guess.
Yeah. I just feel like that's work. I feel like if I have to watch a season, like, I have to kind of pay attention, you know? Like this, like, if, like, when Taken's on TV, I don't have to pay attention to Taken. I just have to watch the three scenes that I like. Like, I don't have to, like, I don't have to, like, pay attention to the intricate plot details. I just have to watch him, I'll find you, I'll kill you, and then the auction scene, and the electrocuting the ball scene, and that's about it. Like, I don't really need anything else. But you said there was some twists in here. What got you?
I didn't see the suicide bomb at the end where Liam Neeson was like, all right, I gotta take care of this. And he basically is like, all right, I'm gonna just throw a suicide bomb and sacrifice myself. I didn't see that. I should have seen his coworker, I guess, his young coworker.
his coworker? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I should have seen him not take his bargain and take Liam Neeson's money and start a new life. He actually came back and helped him finish what Finbar started. So I should have seen that coming, but I didn't. When he came back, I was like, oh, nice. I think those were the two main ones.
I think I saw, I didn't know how it was going to end per se, but I did figure that guy was going to come back. Like, I didn't think he was going to be like, go make your own life. You're young. You can have a chance. I'm like, no, we already saw earlier that guy's all fucked up because he was like burying the guy earlier. And he was like, I just love the thrill. He's not like, we get the idea earlier. He's not like Liam Neeson doesn't. I always wonder.
He wasn't strategic. He's very sloppy killer. He'll just shoot someone in broad daylight.
Yeah, he's like just one of those like maniac kind of guy characters that you would see in movies. Liam Neeson, like, when we get to him at the end, like, or not at the end, towards the beginning when he gives his speech, or the guy gives his speech and he kills him, but he's like, oh, like this, things like this don't end well for people like us, you know, in our line, and this is, you know. And he sings the song, and that really gets to him. And, like, this, that happens in Liam Neeson movies all the time. Just like, what did the filmmakers think of young Liam Neeson? Because, like, did they think he was, like, this crazy, crazy killer man? Because, like, I remember young Liam Neeson from, like, the 90s in movies, and he was, like, kind of a heartthrob guy. Like, he was in, like...
Really?
He was in, he was in, like, romantic films, and, like, in dramatic, like dramatic romantic leads, and, like, Shakespearean things, and he wasn't an ass kicker. He wasn't, like, a murderer, man. He didn't become Taken until Taken, like, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, Liam Neeson's this whole, this badass who takes me, like, it's not like he was Sylvester Stallone his first half of his career. He was a very mild-mannered actor, and then, like, every time we see him, like, oh, like, what, I can't believe I've done all these things. Like, I have to imagine Liam Neeson, like, did all these things before. I'm like, well, he seems like such a nice guy. Why? How did he get into the hitman business in the first place? Like, why did this nice guy get in the hitman business a thousand times?
I'm sure that's a story that he'll love to tell you. It's some unpredictable story where he met some guy and then it led him to some life. I don't know.
Look, he gets in the one Taken movie and that becomes a thing, and then everyone's just like, oh, he's the action, like, it's like a Sylvester Stallone from the 80s, or a Arnold Schwarzenegger, or trying to think of a more modern example that's not Liam Neeson, but Bruce Willis.
He's got fangirls.
But it's interesting that his crosses to you, like all those other people I just said, like those other action stars, like none of those actors appeal to you, but Liam Neeson does.
I don't know. Speaks to me. I was also thinking about, like, if he does retire, who would be the next Liam Neeson? And
Idris.
I don't know.
Idris.
Yeah.
Idris is the most obvious, like, because he's just going to be a big British guy, and he's going to kick ass, and he's already, like, in his mid-50s. He can just kick ass, and, like, you know.
That's true. I mean, he already kind of is. In the last couple movies, is heroic and strategic.
Beast.
I don't see him as, like, crossing the border to hitman, but I guess that could happen.
He is a little, like, Liam Neeson's a little more everymanish because he's a little, like, kind of smaller and mousier. Where, like, Idris is, like, a big guy. Like, you know when Idris Elba walks in a room. We're like,
really? I think Liam Neeson's also a big guy.
Is he?
Maybe not as big as...
I mean, he might be 6 feet tall. Like you know, big. Like, moderately big. But I don't think he's, like, Idris is, like, 6'4", I think. And he's, like, buff.
Oh, really?
And, like, yeah, Idris is a big boy. Liam might be, like, 6 feet. He might be, like, above average. But he's not, like, you wouldn't pick him out in a room per se, but yeah,
probably right.
I don't know. Oh, who was the new? They did announce the new James Bond. I don't even know why I mentioned it, because I didn't.
No, Liam Neeson 6'4". I just
Googled. Oh, he is, okay. Well, then maybe that is part of the reason he's in these ass kicker movies.
See what? And Idris Elba's 6'2".
Idris is shorter than Liam Neeson. That is shocking. I'm shook. I'm very surprised. He does not look it.
I mean, I'm sure he's got more muscle and everything, but
I know, but
just talking about height, Liam's got him by 2 inches.
Wow. I'm just thinking, like, I'm picturing Idris in movies, and he's just, like, I feel like he's, when he's in, like, an action movie, he's, like, towering over other people.
That's true, like,
Maybe they're just smaller, though. Maybe he's just, like, because, like, actually, actors are, on average, short. Average actor is, like, 5'8". Like, they're shorter than the average.
Yeah.
Populations by a couple inches. So.
That's because they're not athletes. They're the opposite.
It's actually, you know, it's weird. Is like back in the day, the reason actors were all like 5'7 and 5'8 and like men is because of the framing for TV. Like your body measurements, or not for TV, for like the original theater size. Like your body measurements fit a theater screen well. In like a
really?
Yeah, that's why average actors back in the day, and even to this day, like you'll notice a lot of like the biggest, like George Clooney's and the Brad Pitts of like the 90s and 2000s, even today, like the Timothy Chalamet's and the Zendaya, like everyone's like kind of in like the 5'8 5'10 range who are like the main people, because like you don't, if you're too tall, it looks weird unless you're doing certain types of movies. Maybe that's a part of the reason Liam Neeson does action now too, because he's tall. And like, so it looks.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
I assumed it was all the jocks end up being athletes, and then all the artsy men ended up.
Oh, the world is not that black and white.
And film, and they just ended up being shorter.
Yeah, there's plenty of athletes who become actors too, and vice versa. Well, not as much vice versa actually, but there's plenty of athletes who become actors. But no, I think there is a originally there was a, like. Yeah, it's the way the size of the film and like how often you're like how far back. But then when you do action movies, like you're filming it differently. You're doing different kind of scenes, so you want a different size person in it. So it's very interesting, like when you think about the physicality of like a person when you want to make stuff like that. But that was a little tangent because honestly, there's not a ton to talk about the meat and bones of Saint and Sinners. It's a Liam Neeson movie. I think we brought out the points we wanted to bring up.
One point is, please. I don't like the title of the movie. I think this is happening more often because I think just so many titles are taken and it's hard taken. So many titles are used, and it's probably a bit of a stretch to name a movie. But I don't even remember what scene it was, but someone said, like, oh, In the Land of Saint and Sinners. Mm. And then I was like, there it is. That's the title of the movie.
It's just like a throwaway. Like, oh, they said it. There it is. I think it's based on, is it based on, like, a book or something? This kind of feels like a based on a book kind of movie, but it doesn't look like it is. Seems like it might be, you know? Or it had that feel a little bit to it, you know? Like there was something else going on that I was unprivileged to. But, yeah. Land of Saint and Sinners, other than the title, do we recommend it, Jess?
Oh, definitely. 10 out of 10.
It passes the Liam Neeson sniff test for Jess. I'm gonna give a soft not recommend. It's I guess it's fine if it's on streaming and you can like kind of throw it on, but in his past 10 years or so, if I had to make a graph or a chart or whatever, and I put every Liam Neeson movie I've seen, and it's probably like 20 of them or so, I think this is in the 10 to 15 range. Middle of the pack, maybe on the slightly lower end of the middle of the pack. I'm surprised by the 80%, honestly.
Then I wonder where that came from.
I personally disagree. I don't think it's a bad, like, terrible movie. I just think it's very stock, and I'm surprised. I guess 80% is just, like, an aggregate. Like, maybe 80% of people gave it 3 stars or whatever, but, like, if I were to guess outright, I would have guessed this was a high 50s, low 60s kind of movie. But it's a soft not recommend. Not terrible, not without its moments, but not what I'm looking for in Liam Neeson. But for Jess, it is. It passed the test, so one recommend, one not recommend for In the Land of Saints and Sinners. You could do well to punch up your title, though. Robert Lorenz, director Robert Lorenz, please work on your title. Coming up, we have a couple of theater things that I'm looking forward to, and then we're going to do our catch-up at the end of the month. Catch-up on the last couple of things you've seen, movies and TV and otherwise, and any other crap we can find out what Nicole's been watching. That's always a treat. What crappy YouTube channels and Facebook accounts has she been spending her time on? But in the meantime, if you have things to recommend to us, actual films, we just did a listener suggestion, proof that we do them. Films with the Women in My Life on Facebook. Reach out to me on Instagram. I'm Brennan_podhost. And you can email the show filmswiththewomen@gmail.com. Jess, thanks for joining me for this Liam Neeson film, In the Land of Saints and Sinners.
Yeah, thank you.
Till next time, this is Brennan signing off, saying thanks for listening and enjoy your movies.
Thanks for listening to Films with the Women in My Life. If you enjoyed being a listener in our life, please rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or on your favorite podcast app. Keep up with the latest from the show on Instagram at Brennan_podhost, on Facebook at Films with the Women in My Life, and on Twitter at FilmsWomenPod. Finally, you can email the show with questions and suggestions at filmswiththewomen@gmail.com. Original music for the show was created by Ian Burke and Chris Iwanek. Original artwork created by Nicole D'Alessio. This show is produced by Brennan Snyder. Thank you again for listening and enjoy your movies.